Pentecost, and our text is from Luke chapter 18. And we'll read Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. We read in Jesus' name as follows. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Amen. Please be seated. Here we pray. These are your words, O gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Has anyone here ever stacked wood? Yeah, it's probably something that you're doing right now, this time of year. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad used to order firewood, or we'd get firewood made, and there came the time that it had to be stacked. And I remember as a little boy, stacking wood, that was our job. Dad would get it all to the house, and we would have to put it in the basement and stack it. I remember seeing these enormous piles of wood and thinking, wow, this is going to take forever. And it was really discouraging. And the reason I bring that up is because our text today deals with being discouraged. And I thought that's a good example of in my life, a time when I've been very discouraged. You know, you look at the pile and you're taking these little pieces of wood one at a time and you're stacking them on the pile and it just does not seem like it's getting any smaller. And we tend to get discouraged about things, not just stacking wood, but they can be other problems that we have in life. But we get this enormous problem and we're just getting discouraged. There's no way that we can seem to move the pile of wood. You know, it's like, man, there's nothing we can do. And so the same is the case here in the story that we just read. We have a good example of somebody who didn't get discouraged, but she kept doing something. She kept persisting. And what Jesus is trying to teach us here is that this is how we should treat prayer. Basically, the whole point of this is that we should never get discouraged, but we should always pray. And that's what Jesus says. This parable he tells, we have the benefit here of Luke telling us directly what the reason and the purpose of his parable is. He says that he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And so that's, you know, we get kind of like the cheat sheet, if you will. We get the point of the parable. So we should always pray, and we should never lose heart. No matter what, we can always pray. And so what sort of things do we need to pray for? Each of us have needs, right? We all have needs. We have natural needs. We have spiritual needs. Some of the natural needs we have, well, the first one, I think, is food, right? We all need food to live. And that's something that we we pretty much take for granted, I think. We think, well, we're always going to have food to eat, and it's never been a problem. None of us have grown up hungry and like ever had a time where we were like without food. At least I don't think so. I could be wrong. But I think for the most part, we've all been very well cared for. And so we don't usually think to pray for food, but it is a need that we have. And in fact, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that God would give us today our daily bread. And so we're praying for food, and we're praying for actually more than food. We're praying for everything that's involved with our life. But food, you know, maybe we worry about food, actually. Sometimes, like recently, this last week, Jesse and I were in the grocery store and getting some stuff for the woman's brunch, I think it was. And we were buying the eggs, and wow, he was shocked at the price of eggs. It's over $9 for 36 eggs, which is quite expensive. And so maybe that's something we look at, and we're looking and we're worrying. We're thinking, all these prices are going up, and boy, my income doesn't seem to be rising. Especially if you're older and retired, you're on a fixed income. And you might get a cost of living adjustment once a year, but it never seems like that's quite meeting the inflation. And so we start to worry, what's going to happen here? Well, for this worry, pray. Jesus says you should always pray. Never lose heart. No matter how big the problem seems, and no matter if it seems like your prayer isn't working. So that's the thing. Like, sometimes we think, well, I've already prayed about that. I'm not going to keep praying. I guess it didn't work last time. And so we get impatient with prayer. We say, well, what's the point? Well, Jesus wants to tell us we should always pray, to never give up there. And he gives this example of this judge here, which we'll get into. But first I wanted to talk a little bit more about some of our needs. We have another basic need we have is health. That's something that isn't really in our control. And so maybe we have like a health problem or some kind of condition, or maybe we're just worried that some bad thing's going to happen to us and we want to stay in good health. Now, these are all things that we can pray for. We can ask God. We can persistently pray like this widow did. Another thing that, especially this time of year, in this season that we're in our country, we get worried about our government and all the sort of things that that affect us in all these ways. We can pray for our government. We can pray for good government. We can pray that God would lead us and guide us. And he can do it. He can do it despite, no matter who's in office. Maybe it's not somebody you voted for or whatever the situation may be. God is still able to do everything. You know, the Proverbs tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants to, like a river. You know, God just, he's directing it, and he's able to do all these things. So there's no reason ever for us to be overcome with fear and whatever our circumstances are. We don't need to be afraid. We can always pray, and we never ever should lose heart and just give up on prayer. So we can just continually go to God. And God wants us to know that. And so this parable that Jesus tells, it comes right after Jesus is telling the disciples something about his second coming and his kingdom coming. And so, you know, that's kind of the context that this arises out of, is that he had just told them of all the things that are going to happen in the future. And as you can imagine, when you hear that, if you're one of the disciples, or if you're us, when Jesus tells us about these things and all this like tribulation and bad sort of things that are going to happen, then you start to worry. And so then immediately he's telling them, doesn't matter what, you should always pray. You should never let yourself get all worried and flustered and stop praying. And so he's wanting to encourage his disciples, they should just continue in prayer, and they shouldn't pay anything else, you know, don't give it extra attention. Only just pray. And so we pray for all of our needs. It's not just our natural needs, but maybe even more importantly, our spiritual needs. We pray that God would increase our faith, that we can remain faithful no matter what. We pray for forgiveness. Forgiveness for ourselves and for those around us, those who have hurt us. And if we've hurt somebody else, we pray that we can forgive them and that God would lead us and he would guide us. We pray for his spirit. We can pray. We can always pray the Lord and ask him, say, give me your spirit. It's like Jesus tells the disciples that. He said, which of you who has a son or like a child, if comes to you and he asks you like for a loaf of bread, he said, you wouldn't give him a stone? Or if he like asks you for an egg or something, you wouldn't give him a scorpion? You know, you're going to give him good things. And he says, how much more? He said, you're evil and you know how to do this stuff. It's kind of like this unjust judge. He's not really a good guy, but he still is able to give the whatever the lady's asking for. But anyway, Jesus says that you're evil and you know how to give good things to your children. He said, how much more will your Father in heaven give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, I mean, that's a direct promise for all of us. We can pray for the Holy Spirit. We can ask God, give me your spirit. Give me your spirit so I know how to handle this situation, or that so that I wouldn't worry, or that I could believe, and or all these things we can pray, and God will. He will give us his spirit, and we never should give up. And so this judge here in our story, then, there's a judge he's in a certain city. So he's like a judge that has a jurisdiction, like he's judging over a certain area, I'm sure. And within his jurisdiction, there's a lady, there's a widow there. And she's coming to him, and she's asking him to help her with her problem. She has an adversary. She has this thing that's going, somebody apparently has wronged her, is like hurting her in some way. And she needs this judge to step in and give a judgment so that whatever is happening that's unjust, that it would be stopped. And now this judge, he's not a good judge. He's a judge that doesn't fear God or respect man or people. So in other words, he has no guiding principles. He's not like guided by God. He doesn't even look to God for guidance or anything like that. And not only that, he doesn't care about the people underneath him. So what a terrible judge. It's like the worst kind of situation you could have. A judge that he doesn't have any guiding principles that he's going to stick to. And he doesn't even care about the people. So we would think this judge isn't in a position to even, he's never going to make a good judgment. That's kind of what we're led to think here. And this widow woman, she's constantly coming to him and she's asking him for help about this problem she has. And he just basically says, he kind of caves in after a while and he says, even though I fear not God, I don't fear God or respect man, even though I'm this kind of person, I'm just all about myself really. He said, I'll give her justice so that she won't beat me down by coming to me continually. And so in the end, this widow woman's persistence pays off. She's able to get help for constantly coming. And now Jesus says, he tells us something that's very, very interesting. He says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. If you could read that in Greek, it's an amazing statement. It's almost like he's saying, listen to what the unrighteous judge is saying. And maybe we could like underline unrighteous. He's like saying, this unrighteous judge, listen to what he's saying. You know, he's even giving the thing that she's asking, and he has no reason to. He doesn't even care about her. And he doesn't even care about God. But yet, he's still giving her the thing that she's asking. And so what he wants us to see is that we can come to God with our problem, but we're not coming to an unrighteous judge, some cold, arrogant person. You know who we're coming to? We're coming to our Father. Our Father, He really cares about us. He cares immensely about us. And that's why Jesus says that, will not God give justice to His elect, His own chosen people? God's going to do this. He really cares about us. God actually loves us. And He's going to give us the things that we need and the things we ask for. And so the lesson for us is to always come to God, always pray to Him. And also the reason why is because God cares about us. God cares about us. He's trustworthy. We can come to God. We can tell Him everything that we need. And He's going to help us. He really cares about us. You know, we're His elect. We cry to Him day and night. It's like we're constantly calling out to Him for help. Is God going to just turn away and be like, I'm not really going to bother myself with them? And then, well, I guess if they're bugging after a while, I'll come down and I'll help them out, or something like the unrighteous judge. But no. In fact, the Psalms, it tells us that the Lord's ear, in Psalm 34, it says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ear is open to their cry. So it's not like God is waiting around ever to wait for a while to come help us or something like that. But in fact, God, His ear is open. He's like listening for us. He's waiting for us to talk to Him. And so that should encourage us, and it does encourage us to pray. We should always pray. We never lose heart. Because when we have that kind of a God who's waiting to hear from us, whose ear is just trained to listen for our cry and our cry out for help, He comes and He helps us. He doesn't delay. He's coming speedily. It's just like when a mother has a little baby, that's especially a nursing baby, and I know because we've had 7 of them, and it's like, when that baby's crying, mom, she goes and she helps him. It's like not something that you wait around for. She's listening. In fact, like you put them down for a nap and like they're there in their crib and they're sleeping and stuff. And then it's like you're always kind of wondering, like, when's the baby going to cry? Like, because you need to go and take care of the baby. And that's just like the natural love that parent and a mother has for a child. But how much more does God have that? So much more. God, He cares for our every need. You know, when we're in the grocery store and we're looking at the price of eggs or whatever the thing is, it's like we got to remember what Jesus said. He cares for the birds. Like, they're not looking for food, and He's constantly giving them food. They don't stress about nothing. They're just there flying around. And actually, it's such a good example for us, because the birds, you know what they do? They get up in the morning and they just start singing. They start singing right away before they even know what they're going to eat. You know, so that's a good example for us. We could wake up and we could praise God. We could thank Him. We could start singing and everything. And then maybe after that, start looking around. Well, I wonder what He's going to provide for me today. And He will. He does provide. And He's provided for us, you know, abundantly. Most of us, we have way, way more than we need. Like, we have all the stuff we need for weeks and weeks and months and maybe years. We're provided for in advance. And yet we're still here worrying, like, I wonder what's going to happen and all this stuff. But God tells us, you know, look at the birds. They don't have any worries. And look at the flowers, okay? The flowers are there growing in their beauty. They're just so beautiful. You know, they're not worried about what they're going to wear and like their life and all this stuff. But they just are there. They just receive what God gives. And so that's the example for us. We should be like the birds and we should be like the flowers. We should absolutely trust in God. for all of our needs. And I love here that this, in the example, this parable that we have, it's a widow. Okay, because a widow, and I know we have many widows here. I've been to your house, most of you, and I've gotten to know you. And I kind of know what you're dealing with, and you've shared somewhat with me. And I want you to know that God has a special place for widows. His word has many, many promises for widows. That he cares for them. He watches over them. You know, he's concerned with the people that are disadvantaged and the people that are oppressed and all this, and the people that are helpless, the widows and the orphans. God has special promises for them. And God will take care of you. But another thing we should understand about widows is that the widows here in this, the Bible times, in the ancient world especially, they were a little bit different than the widows nowadays. You know, to be a widow back then meant to be just like absolutely destitute. Like you don't have anything. You're not able to work and provide for yourself. You know, you kind of rely on your sons. Like if your husband died, you'd be relying on your sons to provide for you. If you didn't have any sons, you were you're in bad shape. You're basically just dirt poor, like kind of the lowest level on the economic ladder. Like the widows are on the bottom. They're very, very poor. And that's why Jesus, when the widow comes into the temple, remember that? And the people are throwing in all their money into this jar that makes a loud noise so you can hear how much money they put in. Well, the widow comes in and she puts in her couple pennies into the jar. And Jesus calls that out as an example of what true giving is. And he says that all you people that gave out of your wealth, well, this widow, she gave out of her poverty. She gave her very last thing that she had. And so you can see how widows are, they're poor. And so that's why Jesus uses a widow as an example, that basically somebody who's in a really rough, they're in real rough shape. They're pretty helpless. They can't help themselves. And so, like, that's the example for us. So, like, it's a good thing he uses her, like a widow, somebody who's in that kind of a bad position, because then we know that when we're in a bad position, like, yeah, he's telling us, pray. You can pray, and you can continually come, like, with big problems, not just little problems that you need help with. No, like, when everything's against you, when the whole system's against you, and you can barely survive, you can barely live, you don't have the basic necessities of life, and you don't have the things that you need the most. And so we can put ourselves in there, whatever that happens to be for each of us. You know, whether we have like some serious health issue, or we have a big financial issue, or we have some kind of an addiction, or whatever the problem is, whatever it is, we continually come, and we continually just keep coming. And if we could use the word bugging, because she was bugging this judge here. But we don't bug God. Well, God will never get tired of us. And that's the point. Just keep coming. You just keep coming and talking to God about your problems. He's waiting to hear. And he's going to help you. He loves you. And so he's going to come speedily. You know, you got to love that. He's going to come quickly. He's not going to wait around. He's going to come and help us. And really, this is pointing us already to the end of the world. Remember, Jesus had just gotten done telling the disciples about his second coming. And this is the ultimate time when everything that is wrong with the world will be fixed. All of our problems will finally actually have their complete resolution. They'll be all resolved and everything will be just made perfect. And this is going to come speedily. Now, maybe we're wondering, well, it doesn't seem like it's coming very quick, because Jesus, he was 2,000 years ago when he was saying this, and here we are later. But actually, it is quickly. Jesus says, he told John in the Revelation that he said, I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. And so what we can say about that is, wow, if it's 2,000 years later and he said it's quickly, well, eternity must be a long time, because if God, if in his like counting of time, 2,000 years goes by pretty quick, then can you imagine how long eternity is? We're going to be with him forever. And he doesn't get hung up on like timetables like we do. But he will come quickly. And he is coming again. He's going to come get all of us. He's going to take us to heaven. And he's going to give us, you know, complete peace and happiness. In the Revelation, it says that all the tears will be taken away from our eyes, and there will be no more death, there will be no more sickness, there will be no more pain. Can you imagine that? No more pain. We'll be just completely free and healthy and at peace forever. And so he's coming quickly. It's not going to be very long, and he will come. And then the text, it ends with a question. Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that's a very searching question, a question that searches every one of us. Will Jesus find faith on the earth? Are we believing? Like, do we believe in Jesus? If we're not, it's because basically we're saying that he's not believable, that God is not trustworthy. And God is. He has shown himself to be absolutely trustworthy. We can trust in him with our whole being, our whole life. It's like Martin Luther said that to have faith in God, it's like we're willing to stake our lives on it 1,000 times, to stake our lives on the gospel and the good news of what God has done for us. That we are so completely convinced that God is good. His word is true. What he's done for us, it stands in power for eternity. And so this question searches every one of us. Will he find faith on the earth? You know, do we just pass by that when God, he's just openly shows us how good he is and how much he loves us and what he's done for us? Do we just kind of, well, I don't know, you know, and scoff at that or something? No. We believe it. That's what he tells us to do, is to believe it, to lay hold on it. This is for us. And so he does, and God actually gives us faith even. That's what he's doing here. You know, even though he's questioning whether we have faith, really the purpose here is to strengthen our faith. His purpose is always to strengthen our faith so that, you know, he asks the question, will he find faith on the earth? And what that does, it causes us to start to examine, do I believe? Am I in faith? And then where that brings us to is to God's word. We start reading God's word, and then we find out, yes, I do believe this. Because God is good. God is faithful. And therefore, you know, I have faith in him. And so we have a good God. We have a faithful God. And the lesson for us today is never be discouraged. But on the basis of God's goodness, always pray to him and never lose heart. And God, he'll be with you. He loves you. He'll take care of you. In Jesus' name, amen.